Welcome to Gluck Radio. I am Dr. Errol Gluck, executive life coach and master problem solver. Today, I'm joined by Nancy Ankiewicz, the introvert expert. Nancy is a business communication coach who focuses on helping introverts gain confidence and upward mobility in the workplace. Nancy, welcome. So, Nancy, let's start off by telling me, what is the difference between an introvert and an extrovert, and what is, in particular, the different types of introverts that there are?
Okay, different types of introverts. Okay, so first of all, you're an introvert if you prefer to recharge your energy during your quiet time versus your social time. That's a simple definition. So if you're an introvert, you may like reading, writing, researching on the web, just quieter activities, and also one-on-one conversation as opposed to diving into a cocktail party and just chatting up a storm with small talk. So that's a basic. And if you're an extrovert, you gain energy from all that people contact. And then you want to go to the after party. So it's a very different orientation. What did you mean by types of introverts? Tell me a little more.
Meaning, I want you to differentiate the difference between when a person comes into my office and they come in and they want to change something, sometimes they'll check off shyness or low self-esteem. Does shyness or low self-esteem have anything to do with being an introvert?
Well, actually, they're quite different. So shyness is more social anxiety, which I know you're expert at dealing with. And the great news about shyness is you can go to someone like you and get it fixed. You can get it. You do your wave your wand and do whatever process that you've been doing for 30 years, and it goes away.
You've heard about the wand, they say.
Yeah, I've heard about it. But the difference with introversion is there's no cure because there's nothing to cure. If there's an introvert, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you, and it's just a different orientation. It's like being left-handed versus right-handed. Yet in our society, people often associate introverts with being loners and losers, the lone gunman. It's like a sad trait, but it's not. It's absolutely nothing wrong with you, and it's nothing to do with intelligence. It's just a normal way, a different orientation from being an extrovert.
It's interesting. According to your definition, an introvert is a personality trait, not a personality disorder.
Not a disorder at all.
Okay,
no.
So it's simply a trait. All right, so it's simply a trait. And it's interesting because by your definition, like for instance, I will talk to anyone anywhere. I have no shyness within me.
It's almost
to an extreme.
Yes, I see.
But having said that, I prefer one-on-one.
Interesting.
When I'm at, if I'm at a large party, I will zero in on one-on-one or two-on-one. I don't really want to go from – I don't want to be the life of the party per se.
Mm.
I can be. It's not hard for me, but it's not my preference. And when I recharge, I always recharge by myself.
Ah.
I always recharge by being alone and just meditating and getting my headset. So what would that make me? An in-extrovert?
Well, the good news is we all have introversion and extroversion in our personalities. It's really where you recharge. That's at least the definition if you look at the Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is one of the most popular personality assessments. But it sounds like you have a lot of introverted aspects to your personality. If you took the assessment, you'd figure out exactly where you lean more.
So how does being an introvert, how could one, when they assess themselves as this is who I am, what choices they should they be cognizant of making? Should they marry another introvert? Okay. Should they have, are there certain jobs that introverts do better at? So tell me.
Right. Okay. You know, it's a great
point. What's the benefit of being an introvert and what should they be looking out for?
Yeah. Looking out. Okay. Terrific. So the benefits are if you're an introvert, you tend to be a better listener because you spend more time listening than talking. And extroverts can totally develop that because it's a skill set. But that's one benefit. Another is you can, since introverts tend to love to do research and read, they tend to gain deep expertise on one or two topics, as opposed to an extrovert who knows a little bit about a lot of things. So that can be a real benefit in your life, in your career, and interesting to some people in conversation as well. So in terms of relationships, introverts and extroverts can absolutely complement one another. So, but there are things they need to learn to get along well together, whether it's in a relationship, personal relationship, or a business relationship. So, for instance, if you're an extrovert and I'm an introvert, which I am, and we need to talk, if you just come into my space and start talking, I can experience that as an invasion, even if you want to tell me happy birthday, even if you want to say something really nice. Okay. I would prefer that you schedule that time so that you have my full attention and we can really have a great chat. And I prefer to go deeper. Now, you, if you prefer to go up more on a surface level, that's fine, but I'll need to probably rest up a little bit for that. So we need to meet in the middle a little bit and understand one another. So I may need to practice a little small talk for you, and you may need to just get your social energy, your social fix outside the meeting, and then focus more. Turn off the BlackBerry or the iPhone and really focus more in our meeting. So different orientations, but we can absolutely get along great.
Nancy, you got me back to being an extrovert because you can wake me up at 4 in the morning in a band and I'm fine.
Okay, I get
and
that.
You know, I don't need any warm up. So I guess I'm back on the other table.
Yes.
So interesting. So I used to always say opposites attract and then they kill each other. People who are the same, you know. So does sound like introverts being with one another is a little bit more harmonious than an extrovert who may not take the time to warm you up.
Well,
and say, are you ready for a conversation? Just jump right into it.
Yes, that's true. It can be more harmonious, introvert and introvert. However, we all have so many complex aspects to our personality, as you well know. And I like to be around extroverts sometimes because they're fun. Introverts can be fun too, but in a more low-key way. Sometimes I just like a big joke. So there are different things that we find stimulating.
Are introverts more sensitive?
They can be. Now, there's another thing called, you're probably familiar with highly sensitive people, the work of Elaine Aron. 70% of highly sensitive people are introverts. So I hope I got that number right. Yes, I believe so. So you can Google her work on the internet. But yes, a lot of introverts are sensitive, some aren't.
Now, when we look at sensitivity, is sensitivity about the person being too self-absorbed and everything is a little bit about them, that they're not able to get the perspective? Or are we looking at sensitivity as that they are more empathic, which means they feel the information in a much deeper way? How are we looking at the sensitivity? Is it a personality disorder, or is it the fact that they simply absorb and feel more of the information?
I think it's absolutely the latter. It's people who absorb more and feel more, taste more, hear more, see more. All those things. I don't think that necessarily makes them more empathic, but they can be if they develop that skill, or they may be naturally. However, they just take in more. So things hurt more too if you're very sensitive. So there's a plus and a minus to that.
Okay. Are they more passionate?
More passionate. That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. You would think that that would connect, but I'm not sure.
I would think introverts would be more passionate, more sexual, sensual, but you tell me.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you're an introvert.
I'm an introvert, but my orientation is more on the business side. So when we get into the bedroom, that's not really my specialty.
She's skirting the issue. Okay.
I'm a business communication coach, former Wall Street girl. This is what I do for a living.
I will let you out of this.
Right.
Are there particular professions that an introvert would be more likely to thrive in.
Yes. Now, mind you, an introvert can absolutely thrive in any profession. However, so for instance, you'll have a lot of introverts in professions that require a lot of calculation, like accountants and actuaries and computer programmers and things that require research.
Sound engineers,
absolutely. I haven't yet met one who is a raving extrovert. I'm sure they're out there. You'll be getting calls, but most of them tend to be real introverts. So those kind of careers. However, there are a lot of – you'll find lawyers who are total introverts, and then there's trial lawyers who are total extroverts, but you can get crossovers too. So you can get both. Careers that would be tough for introverts can include sales careers. However, introverts, I've had clients who are outstanding at sales and are introverts. How are they outstanding? Because again, they build those one-on-one connections with people rather than try to be the life of the party, which is tougher for them.
Right. And what I find, by the way, with sales, that introverts do much better as sales reps. Hmm. Where they have a salary,
right.
And what they're doing is they're representing the company and actually helping the person understand the product or service and showing how they could benefit by integrating it into their system. I find that introverts do very poorly in cold sales, straight commission, where they have to be a little bit tough and convince a person to do something that they don't want to do. Introverts, I find, try to help people as opposed to just sell people.
You make a lot of good points, and cold call sales for an introvert. The tough part about that is if you're an introvert, you tend to think before you speak rather than think on your feet. So an extrovert just says it and doesn't worry about editing as much. An introvert needs to edit or prefers to edit before speaking. So an introvert can get good at cold call sales. However, it may not be as much of a natural inclination. Yet we have a lot of famous super successful introverts, including the likes of Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. I would even argue
Obama.
Absolutely
an introvert.
So, yeah. So cold calls, right?
Actually, people don't know this, but Ronald Reagan was an extreme introvert.
Interesting.
Yeah, most people don't actually know that. So introverts can, in fact, have very public.
Yes.
But what they do, and you're right, they don't think well on their feet. They have to actually have everything within themselves and be. That's why the old joke about a bomber is that if he doesn't have the notes in front of him, he's
right.
Lost.
Right, okay. Right.
Knowing whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, how does it help prepare you to make decisions that are important for your life?
Oh, that's a great point. For an introvert, one of the key guiding things to help you throughout your life is rest up, prepare, and practice. Rest up. You think, well, we all need sleep, right? You know that. However, you need social rest. You need to recharge that quiet time, the walk in the woods, the reading, the researching, whatever it is that does it for you. So the prepare, whenever you're going to a business meeting, to give a talk, to any kind of social interaction, preparing a few key lines rather than relying on thinking of things as you go. Make your life a lot easier. Job interviews, whatever social setting it is, it really makes a difference. Likewise with practice, practicing a few key lines. So those are some real principles that will help you through a lot of important parts of your life.
Now, I know you're an expert on being an introvert. Are you also an expert on being an extrovert?
Well, I've spent my life as an introvert. I work with a lot of extroverts.
And okay. So let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Are people in leadership more likely to be extrovert or introvert?
40% of CEOs in the U.S. are introverts. So is a little more likely to have an extrovert, but introverts are doing okay, I'd say.
They're doing okay.
Especially our chief introvert, who just got re-inaugurated.
Chief introvert in charge.
Yes, exactly.
I think that may be a new title.
Yes.
You know, C-I-I.
Yes.
Chief introvert in charge.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent.
Sure.
What are the dangers of being an introvert? What should they avoid? How can they enter into relationships that would be completely destructive for them? And what people are toxic to introverts?
Great. Oh, wow. Terrific questions all. So dangers of being an introvert and what to avoid. So if you're an introvert, people can think that you're standoffish because you're not talking as much, perhaps. Sometimes you may talk a lot on something you're passionate about, but in a meeting you may withhold more, so you may be seen as withholding, standoffish, cold. So to bridge that, it's important for you to reach out to people and ask them to lunch, have drinks with people, so you can build those one-on-one bonds so that if you're quiet at meetings, you'll still have those relationships built, and that will be to your benefit. As to things that are destructive and toxic to you, people who tell you to come out of your shell, that's really awful for an introvert. You need to be where you are. If it's to your benefit in your career or in your personal life to come out of your shell, fine. But you don't need to be told to change. You're fine as you are as an introvert.
Okay. So you mean you can't come out of your shell for a second and say, by the way, I hate your guts. Now I'm going back in my shell.
Nothing against humor, ever.
Okay. And introverts have good, said they enjoy humor.
Jerry Seinfeld's one example.
He's an introvert.
He told Oprah he's an introvert, absolutely.
I thought I heard the word pervert. I don't know.
Those vert words, you know.
Yeah, those, you know, it was clean to close.
Yeah.
All right, so introverts actually can't. I do actually know for a fact, because I've treated so many people in the entertainment field, you know, even A-listers. I do know that many, many comedians and many, many actors are introverts.
Yes,
so that is an absolute fact.
Absolutely. Just because you are outgoing on stage doesn't mean that you don't need a lot of quiet time to do your thing on your own.
Correct. That's absolutely true.
Absolutely.
In your work with introverts, are you trying to give them a greater sense of this is a powerful identity? Don't be angry at it. Don't try to change it. Just embrace it.
Absolutely.
And look where it can take you.
Absolutely.
So what are the advantages of being an introvert?
Advantages are that, again, the listening, the deep knowledge, the one-on-one relationships, the passion for whatever it is that you're expert in. So all these things are absolute advantages.
Should an introvert try to still move towards having a few extrovert traits, or should they simply stay within their circle of being an introvert?
It depends who you are. If you're a researcher and you're looking for a cure for cancer, maybe you need to spend a lot of time in the lab.
But maybe you need to raise money.
However, yes, to that point. However, if you want people to know what you've done, you may need to step out of that lab a few hours a day, let your boss know, let your stakeholders know what you've done to make sure you get credit for your great accomplishments.
Should an introvert on a interview, let's say I was interviewing you for your job, would you let me know you were an introvert? Or how would you interview differently than an extrovert?
Great. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm an introvert. I don't think there's any need. But how would I interview differently? I may repeat some questions as to give myself some time to answer. So I may paraphrase a question or two. I may comment on your questions like great question or thank you. No one's ever asked me that, because it's harder for me. It's harder for you, the introvert, to think on your feet. So you may need a little cushion time to get your thoughts together.
Do introverts find extroverts a little bit annoying?
Yeah, but it goes both ways. Yes, it goes both ways. In fact, I was just at a meeting the other night.
I like introverts.
Yeah. Some of your best friends, I know.
Extroverts find me a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah. You know, it goes both ways. I was at a meeting the other night of the Association of Psychological Type, people who are passionate about talking about Myers-Briggs and these different types. And it came up about how introverts feel about extroverts and extroverts feel about introverts. Introverts love things about extroverts, some introverts, things like that they're so easy with words, that they can be the life of the party, that they can be a lot of fun, that they just come out with ideas. But things that they can find annoying is, you know, give me a little space, okay? I need some quiet time. I need to concentrate, all right? And extroverts, likewise, they can love things about introverts. They can love their sensitivity if they tend to be sensitive. They can love that they can be great problem solvers, deep thinkers. Their expertise can be very attractive, that they know a lot and they spend the time. They tend to be more patient. But things that are annoying, it's, let's go out and party. You know what? I just need to refresh. I need to read. So it can be a little boring. So pluses and minuses.
Okay. Is there any correlation between depression, anxiety, and being an introvert?
Not that I'm aware of. I think...
I would think there is to a certain extent.
I'll put it this way. What I've learned is that introverts tend to have more noise in their heads. More chatter, more negative self-talk.
Right.
And that's what I learned in researching for my book.
Right.
So that is probably correlated with more depression.
Yeah,
so yes, I correct myself in saying yes.
Because
probably.
That's what I find. I find that introverts have more head noise, and more head noise always leads to more anxiety because it's stressful.
Yes.
Okay. And depression because sometimes your head noise – depression is a function of being trapped or cornered or not knowing how to get out very quickly.
Right.
And since introverts take a very long time in processing when to move and how to move out, I find that they're a little bit more depressed per se.
Yes, could be.
You know.
Yes, in some cases.
You know, which is why often an introvert and mixing some traits with an extrovert, such as learning how to shut down the head noise, you know, learning how to make decisions, not be so perfectionistic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And not pick on themselves.
Yes.
You know, I discourage the concept of failure. I tell everyone there's no such thing. All there is learning.
It's a great way to look.
Well, there is learning. There's only learning. There's no failure.
Yes.
Everything is a lesson to learn, and then you go on.
It's such a healthy outlook. And you're right. Perfectionism can be absolutely crippling to try to always be perfect. And if you edit yourself before you say anything or before you write anything and hit send, then you're silent in the world. And then the world doesn't get to benefit from your gifts.
Oh, absolutely. And then what I find also is that the biggest danger that a person could have is to be trying to have everyone like them, to be afraid of being judged, to be afraid of being perceived as inferior. So they give too much power to others to examine who they are. And I find that introverts do that, where an extrovert might say, you know what? I really don't – I like some of the – my wife, who is an introvert, doesn't understand why some of the people I like the most despise me. She can't get – because if someone doesn't like her, she's not going to like them back.
Hmm.
But for me, if you don't like me, it doesn't really matter.
Hmm.
Okay? It doesn't matter. You know, if I find something I like in you, you liking me is – completely irrelevant because I'm not looking at you to give me my identity. I have my own identity. You're not going to affect it.
That's so healthy. How'd you get that?
Walmart.
Is it on sale? I'm going down there.
You know, 30,
I'll pay full price for that one.
35 years of doing what I do.
Did you start out that way?
No one starts out that way because the mammal brain, the emotional brain, is all based upon, whereas children were all raised in fear. And what will your parents think? What will your teachers think? What will your friends think? So everyone comes to a place of fear, and then because we're basically cave creatures, that we're always looking at who in the cave is the strongest, who in the cave has the most power, and where is our place in life. Mm-hmm. But at one point, the frontal lobe, the Homo sapien brain, starts to individualize and say, you know what? I have my own DNA. Mm-hmm. I have my own fingerprints, tongue prints, iris prints. You know, why am I comparing myself to someone else? You know, why, whether they like me or don't like me, why would I give them the power to tell me who I am when they don't have a clue of who I am? So it's a, you know, it's one of the major facets of my practice is to give people, I actually call it the fuck you gene, where they don't really care what other people think.
Wow.
You know, and this way they're just not angry because they don't feel threatened, or they don't feel as if they're obligated to dislike someone who doesn't like them, and they could learn from people who don't like them. And if you can't learn from everyone, you're missing out.
Well, I'll tell you, that sounds extremely healthy. A lot of introverts have that too, though.
Good for them.
No, a lot of introverts are more self-contained and not so concerned with what are you thinking about me? How are you judging me? But there are plenty of us who are more concerned with that, especially more sensitive introverts.
So what would advice you would give on a corporate level is if you were a partner in a business and your other partner is an introvert and you had something to tell him that was going to be a bit of a sensitive thing, you really had to, in fact, correct this person from some of the mistakes they made, how would you approach an introvert differently than an extrovert?
I would give them a heads up by email saying what the key points I'd like to discuss. I would get their buy-in for the discussion, since we're partners, we're equals. Make sure, with any feedback, you want to make sure there's buy-in. And then once, so the key points in advance gives them time to think about it. And then we have a quiet place where we're going to meet, as opposed to some, you know, lunchroom. And then we have the conversation. I give the person plenty of time to think, plenty of time to respond. I do not interrupt. And we have a good, respectful conversation.
Good. Actually, I think that's a perfect answer.
Thank you.
Okay. So if you were are you single or married?
I'm in a relationship.
In a relationship. Okay. So let's say is the person you're in a relationship with, is he an introvert or an extrovert?
Introvert.
He's an introvert.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been in a relationship with an extrovert?
That's a great question. Mainly introverts.
Mainly introverts.
Yes,
so
yes.
You do find it easier to be with introverts.
Personally, yes. But that's not a trend. That's
okay.
Just me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes.
So you answered that actually perfectly. So let's go back. Is it the same answer in a personal relationship? If you have something to correct in the relationship, would you do the same thing as you would do in business? Give them a heads up and time to think about it?
With an extrovert?
No, with an introvert in a relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Same principle.
Same exact, yes. And being also mindful, and this is something an introvert does, I think, particularly well, is really stepping into the other person's shoes. What works? What are their hot buttons? What works particularly well with this person when I'm communicating with this person? Where does it get messy? So really thinking about those things.
Oh, interesting. Actually, interesting. There's a note here from one of my producers, and
yes.
He says, tell us about you rock radio versus you suck radio. What does that mean?
That's very much what we were talking about when you were bringing up the negative voices.
Okay.
So you have a choice. What's going to go through your head when you're walking around each day? Is it, all that you're too old, you're too ugly, you're not confident enough, you don't have enough degrees, you haven't read all the right books, blah, blah. Or is it that you're actually a sterling human being, you're a deep listener, you ask great questions, you know more about such and such topic than your peers, such and such. So anyhow, you get to pick. What do you dial into?
So there's a little rational cognitive self-talk in here.
Yeah, a little. Okay. Can't hurt, right?
Okay, absolutely. You're actually going into my ground of hypnosis.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's what we do. We take the negative stuff out and put the positive stuff in.
Uh-huh.
If a person is perfectionistic, and interestingly enough, the word perfect in Hebrew means sincere. So where it says in scripture, be perfect for God's perfect, that actually translates be sincere for God is sincere towards you. It doesn't mean flawless.
Mm-hmm.
It means sincere. So a person who is a little bit introverted, we want to make sure that they don't take that introverted personality and become too obsessed with their internal dialogue. We want to make sure that they're able to have very healthy thinking, that even though it takes time to clear their head and to meditate and to get their thoughts in order, that their thinking process is one that is going to promote healthy growth. Because I will say that introverts are more prone to anxiety and depression, but they could use their time for being alone and meditative to actually make that just the opposite. You know, so I really do see introverts have an opportunity to be actually extremely healthy if they take the time to recognize that in the same way, if I'm talking to you, I am not going to ask you the same question twice. And you'll see that introverts often, when they're picking on themselves, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. Where rather than it's, I'm fat, I'm going to go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to eat three small meals, six right. small meals, and right, I'm going to drink some water, and I'm going to lose weight.
Right.
You know, not to go on with the negative stuff, just come up with a plan
right.
in your own mind and then execute it.
Right, right. There's so much that can be said for taking concrete steps and baby steps to fix almost any problem.
To fix
and I know
problem.
You believe anything can be fixed.
Anything can be fixed.
Right, anything.
You know,
but except introverts, because there's nothing to fix, right?
Yeah, well, what introverts could do is what they could do is they could learn how to become more successful introverts.
If they want to.
If they want to.
If they want to.
You know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I believe that everyone has a right to determine their own destiny
yes.
and not to have it put upon them.
Okay.
So happiness, I think, is when we say, well, everyone should be happy. Well, some, you know, people should be what they want to be.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you don't want to be happy and you want to be introspective, then somehow you gain from a sort of cynicism that makes you a better poet or artist, and that's what you want, that's your choice.
I agree. And I also think happiness can be a little overrated. I know that may sound funny, but for an introvert, happiness may not be that rah-rah thing. It may be
right.
more quiet contentment. Like, I just learned something today. I feel so happy.
Right. And also, people mistake happiness with a feeling of elation rather than a feeling of contentment
sure.
or accomplishment.
Sure. Good point.
So,
good point.
You know, it all defines, you know, words. We
absolutely.
Really, words is just so misleading.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So when you do your talks on being an introvert, what are the major points you try to get across to everyone?
Okay. Well, one thing is, since I focus a lot on business, is how to build your network so that you will always have opportunities, you'll always have clients, you'll always have jobs. And that should be a lifelong process. That's not when you need a job. Then it's a little on the late side. You can do it, but it gets a lot tougher. So throughout your career, you're always being generous to other people, looking after their careers and helping them with opportunities, and then asking when you need help. So that's really key. Another thing is if you're an introvert, host events, host talks, moderate talks, look for opportunities to host because that's a great role for you, to look after other people, to open the door, and then you're the go-to person. So those are a couple of things that you can do. Other things are write and write for publication. Because as an introvert, you can spend as much time as you want writing. There's no limit on that. So that's another important thing.
So is there any truth to that you're starting a dating website called introvert.com? And the tagline is "You go first."
It's cute.
I get 10% for making the suggestion. Okay.
Thanks. You can be my agent.
Exactly. Always pick the extrovert for the agent.
Yeah.
Okay. So two introverts meet at a bus stop. Who talks first?
The extrovert. That one was easy.
No. Two introverts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Two introverts. Who talks first? The one who smiles. Or you could say the one who gets smiled at.
So the one who gets smiled at, they will talk first because they're smiled at.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, it's so funny. My mind went in such a different direction. I thought you were about to tell a joke. Two introverts walk into a bar.
No.
Wait a second.
No joke.
I wasn't hearing you this time. So two introverts at a bus stop. Right. Who talks first? It's like a trick question. Okay, who talks first?
No, it's not because I'm in the elevator, I'm going to say, Nancy, I'm standing across your eyes. I would say I like your beads.
Yes. And
that's
great.
I would find something I like.
Yes.
And I would always start a dialogue. But two introverts in an elevator, who's saying what to who? Are they both being quiet?
Chances are they're both being quiet. However, if one of the introverts is Warren Buffett and you want to talk to Warren Buffett and you're an introvert, you say something. You say something about some of his work that you liked, a book that you read that you think he would be interested in. You say something. You comment on something that's relevant to him. Make it all about him, the audience.
Can you say to him, I don't know who you are, but you look like my uncle who always loses money?
No! Well, I'll tell you what I did say to him.
Oh, you met Warren Buffett.
Well, I was at a Berkshire Hathaway shareholder meeting.
Ah, now we know our net worth.
Well,
good.
I was there and I asked him a question as an audience member, just a regular audience member. And how did I do that? There was a lot of people there. And I did a little research the night before and found out that if you go into the overflow room, where you don't actually see Warren Buffett in person, you just see the videos, but it's live. So I stood there, and I was the first in the overflow room back then. And I said to him, now, first of all, I practiced my question and I said, "Hello, my name is Nancy Yankowitz. I'm writing a book called Self-Promotion for Introverts for McGraw-Hill, and I teach at New York University." I thought, establish that I'm okay.
Little
right?
credentials there.
Just a little bit. So I wouldn't be thrown out, So because I'm asking a question that has nothing to do with Berkshire Hathaway. So I said, "What advice would you give to introverts to help them advance in their careers?" And he totally embraced the question.
Very nice.
He said he wrote a check. When he was a young man, he wrote a check for $100 to take a Dale Carnegie course to learn public speaking. And he said, "You're looking at a man of courage here." He said, "I promptly stopped payment on the check." And he said, but then he pushed himself. He went and took $100 out of the bank, showed up at Dale Carnegie. There were people there that were so afraid they couldn't even say their names. And fast forwarding, he learned to be a public speaker. He spoke on a university level, and now he's Warren Buffett. So he said the advice he would give is learn public speaking skills and as early as you can in your career. It just means the difference. He said communication skills in general are undertaught in schools. So I am all over that. I believe in that deeply. I teach presentation skills for introverts at NYU. To me, public speaking is such a highly efficient use of an introvert's energy. You get up there once and you can reach a lot of people.
You're giving such excellent advice, and I would completely concur, which means once you identify yourself in a certain manner, this is my identity, you should not limit what you could do based on that identity. An introvert can be an excellent public speaker.
Absolutely.
An introvert can be a great interviewer.
Absolutely.
Can manage down and can manage up.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what happens is that people tend to take labels, which is why I always say labels for soup cans. They take labels and they limit capacity or the belief of capacity within a person. So I would strongly encourage introverts to realize that there is no limitation to what you could accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
Because very often, introverts are taken more seriously because they're perceived as less prone to be full of shit.
Yes.
Okay? Where extroverts right. will tell stories that, you know, they're a little right. bit sometimes fish stories.
Right.
Because they just like to talk.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So there are many benefits of being an introvert.
Absolutely. And well put. And the thing about limiting beliefs is so true. But yes, when an introvert talks, chances are she or he has thought through what they're going to say, and it comes with some research behind it, some real facts. As opposed to an extrovert, sometimes that's true, but they also tend to speak more extemporaneously and, not necessarily as factual. Can be, but not necessarily.
So we're going to get every introvert to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is there a different way of marketing to an introvert than an extrovert? If I was an ad agency, would I take that into account? What does an introvert want to hear in marketing, and what does an extrovert want to hear?
An introvert, first of all, the way the marketing is done is important for an introvert. It shouldn't be noisy. So if it's a loud ad, it should be quieter. It should not overwhelm the senses for an introvert. That's the one thing that really comes to mind. There's a lot of stereotypes about how we should all get out there and we should all party and all that business. If that's the message of the ad, then it could be a little off-putting for an introvert. It's like, I'm not like that. I don't want to be like that. And it might not relate.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good insight. I think that what your work, why it's so important is that because there is more inner dialogue within introverts, that there's the tendency, the greatest mistake that a person could do is ever see themselves as inferior or lose sight of their amazing potential to just expand and grow.
Oh, true.
And I think that your work is really focusing on a part of the population that's more prone to see an extrovert as inherently in superior, which they're not. They're just different.
Just different,
So I think that I think you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
And when you have a conference, invite an extrovert.
Usually when I speak on topics regarding introverts, like presentation skills for introverts, I have a few extroverts who show up. It's funny. And often they're there because their wife's an introvert, or they manage introverts, or introverts manage them, and they want to learn.
Now, the only thing that I would throw out, and this is quite important, is that if you are an introvert, but you have certain personality disorders such as agoraphobia, fears, you're afraid of flying, afraid of going out, afraid of socializing, afraid of speaking one-on-one, get help for your problems, not for your personality.
Good point. Absolutely.
Okay? Meaning everyone, just like an extrovert could have a drug problem.
Sure.
He could be obnoxious.
Sure.
He could be a poor listener.
Yes.
Being an extrovert doesn't mean that listening is not incredibly essential.
Absolutely.
Okay. So don't allow those things that would hold you back from personal growth to take away from your pride in who you are to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Separate the two.
Mm-hmm. Great point. All great points. You're right. And keep in mind, introverts are half the population. So we've got everything. We've got geniuses. We've got extremely kind people. We've got the Mother Teresa's of the world. And we also have some bad people. But same with extroverts. So half and half.
Half and half.
Right?
Excellent. Nancy, what a pleasure to have you.
What a total pleasure. Thank you.
I look forward to reading your information and sending certain people to your conferences.
Thank you. Likewise. Likewise.
Once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Nancy Ankowitz. Go out and buy her book, Self-Promotion for Introverts, The Quiet Guide for Getting Ahead. Or visit her website, nancyankowitz.com. I am Dr. Errol Gluck. Remember, to every problem, there is a solution. And I am your problem solver. Go to our website, gluckradio.com. You're going to want to be a sponsor on our podcast. Or if you have an idea for the show, I want you to call our office at 212-599-3195. Maybe the podcast could be about you. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you tell a friend. Till next time.